Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
What did I see? Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. I must say, just going through the text today, there are a lot of people that are taking the attitude it's just one game. I didn't like what we saw last night. I'm a little concerned, and I'm going to be intrigued to see what our next guest thinks as we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, and we welcome back to the show for GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices since 1972, GCLDiesel.com. We welcome back Louis DeBrusk. Hi, Louis. How are you doing?
Hey, Bob, how are you doing? I'm doing well today.
Yeah, all right, so full disclosure, you are in Denver. Yeah, I was going to say, you're in Denver. We're missing you. I was watching your game the other night. You're working the Colorado-St. Louis series with Hunter Ryan. But you broadcast 72 or 77. Did you do every Oilers game during the regular season this year?
No. There was a bunch that I missed, a few due to COVID and a few scheduling that we weren't on. But, yeah, I don't know what the exact number is, to be honest with you. But in the 70s, yes.
Okay. So I know you watched the game last night. What did you see?
Well, you know, listen, obviously not the start they wanted to have. And that's happened a couple of times in that building where the Flames have come out and really jumped on Edmonton early, and early starts and starts in general have been a topic of discussion for Edmonton, not just through the regular season, but also in the first round versus Los Angeles. It took them a little bit of time to kind of figure that out and start to adjust where they were better at the start of games. And when I say better, that's not necessarily scoring first. That's just defending, playing a more sound game, managing the puck a little bit better. To me, the biggest thing that I saw, Bob, was just protecting the house. There was a lot of chances from slot, a lot of chances from around the net where players from the Flames were able to come in and really weren't attested that much. And I think that'll be a number one priority for them, just being a little bit stronger in front of their goaltender, preventing those great chances, being a little bit more stingy. And the good news is that I think they can adjust to that. They've done that throughout the course of the year. So that's a positive. So I'm of the opinion, like a lot of people you said calling in or texting in, that it is one game because that's the belief you have to have in the playoffs. Now, it's obviously concerning that 9 went into the net, but it's no different than a 1-0 loss, a 9-6 loss, 9-2. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't, because you reset, you regroup, you have a game plan, you try and adjust. And Edmonton will be doing that, and the Flames on the other side will understand that it's not going to be as easy in game number 2. There will be some complications, and Edmonton is going to respond, and they're going to have to adjust and elevate their game as well. I think every game throughout the playoffs, as we saw in round number 1, there's a lot of ebbs and flows. It's a roller coaster ride, and it'll be the team that can manage that and get to their game the best throughout the 7-game series. But a little concerning. I mean, obviously, the start was nowhere where they wanted to have it. They have to make sure that they're dialed in early on in the game tomorrow night and come out with a much better effort.
So it starts with the first shot going in the net.
Yeah.
You got your 40-year-old goaltender. He's played great. But he gives that one up, and that's you're relying on that goalie to be a leader for you, and he gives up that goal. I mean, it was a terrible goal against.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, you say terrible goal, but I look at that as a playoff goal. I really do. I look at the one Zach Hyman scored. It's a playoff goal. It's a shot through a screen that gets to a spot. You're making a goaltender make a save. I don't think you can make goaltenders make a save too often, especially in the playoffs. There's nerves. There's energy in the building. There's things that happen, a stick, a tip, it hits a body, hits a shin pad. There's a screen, and sight lines are interrupted. You never know. So I'm not saying throw pucks away, but the shot from Lindholm, listen, this is a 40-goal scorer. This guy can rip the puck. The puck was up on edge. It was a net player. I'm not protecting Mike Smith here. Of course he's going
to tell you. He'd tell you he'd have to have
100%. 100%. But you know what? They think they should stop every puck, and they don't. They don't stop every puck. This is something that I preached a lot in the first series that I did to seven games, that I don't think Edmonton had a shot enough mentality at times. And I think you have to have that in the playoffs. You have to have a hunger to get pucks to the net. And more importantly, you have to have a hunger to find that second one if it's there. And if you look at the good teams and the teams in the playoffs that seem to do it on a regular basis, it's by design. You funnel pucks to the net, you get there, you clean up the garbage, you get a second opportunity. Evander Kane in the first round. How many goals did he, or chances did he get around the net just from funneling in, being in front of the goaltender, jamming a puck to the net? I mean, those are the types of goals for me, because everybody's collapsing. Every single team now in the National Hockey League is clogging up the neutral zone when they don't have the puck. They're clogging up the defensive zone in front of the net. We saw Edmonton use the back of the net on the Kings a lot later in the series, and it really worked to their advantage. And then you have to find a way to finish your chances. And so here's the thing. I very similar to the last game they played there in the regular season, where it was a run and gun, let's see who can score the most goals in a game. I just don't think Edmonton wants to play that game. They have to go back to the detail-oriented defensive game. I give the Flames a lot of credit. They were fired up in their home building for the start of the Battle of Alberta, and they came out on fire, and they capitalized. Edmonton made it really interesting, making it 6-6 early in the third period, but then the goal against by Anderson was another one of those plays where everybody was puck watching. He walks in, and that's a clean shot to the net. Now, it was a great shot. He picked the corner. Goalie didn't make a save. I don't care how you describe it. That's still an unattested shot in a very good position. And I think that's the number one thing that Edmonton has to clean up. And the good thing is that's something you can clean. That's just buying in and, to be quite honest, being committed to the battle.
All right, so Louis, a couple things happened here. They got the early lead, they got going, and they exerted their physical will on Edmonton. The Oilers at times, they were hunting, Louis. The Oilers were meeting the stick, and we saw against Minnesota, and that's the game for me, the Oilers pushed back after that game against Minnesota, and but it was against Nashville. And Nashville can fight, but they're not the same type of forechecking team that Minnesota and Calgary deploy. And I think that's another thing the Oilers are going to have to respond with, is they're going to – you can't have – some guys are going to have to get out of the comfort zone out there. And they're, I think they're going to have to go 12-6. They can't play Leon at center. They probably have to play Nugent Hopkins with better players. Like, I wonder, can they play Hyman and Kane with Nugent Hopkins and create something with Fogle? And I think they got right now, they got about two right wings playing left wing on the third and fourth line, and I think they need to look at some different options, including Fogle and potentially Dylan Holloway. What would you do to alter the lineup? Would you make significant changes? And Holloway would be a significant addition.
I think that I'm never against that, because I think that he's young enough and will be excited enough that he's going to go out there and you know what you're going to get from him. It's going to be energy. Now, yes, you can sometimes the trade-off is maybe some mistakes or those nerves can carry over and make it difficult to make plays. But unfortunately, that's why I thought he should have gotten some games in the regular season, to be honest with you. I thought he should have got a taste just to understand what it's going to be like, because you never know when you're going to use players. But listen, they had players at their disposal. They always had a couple extras they could throw in there. It just didn't happen that way. I think really essentially, and I'll get back to your point earlier, I do believe that Edmonton, and it happened in the LA series too, I don't know how to say that. I honestly think they take it too personal. And what I mean by that is they were coming out on the short end of those scrums because they get emotional and they take it personal. It's not. It's business. This is how you have to play the game. You go out there and you play the game, but you have to have an element of composure even in that chaos. Initiate, don't retaliate. You know, this is not the fastest of foot defense. There's a couple guys that can wheel, but get pucks in behind. Establish that aggressive
and pound them.
Establish the physicality.
Get them turned.
Absolutely.
And run them pound into them. The bloody boards.
Yeah.
And hurt
but
them.
But here's
and
the thing. You
them.
Don't want to get. Here's the thing. You don't want to get into an area like the scrums. It's funny. I was listening to Gabriel Landeskog, who I think's really developed into a great leader in this game. And after game number one, he said, "Listen, this isn't the time to see how tough we are after whistles. Are you kidding me?" He's like, do I really care? Like, why am I worried about scrums after whistle? What is that doing for us? It's just literally taking our energy away. Now, if it's something you're retaliating to, but even still, this is the time of year where you have to keep those emotions in check. You have to use it the right way. And I think that can be a simple adjustment for Edmonton where, listen, this isn't personal. You're going out there to try and win a hockey game each and every night. What is the thing you need to do to have the most success, the best amount of percentage-wise to win that game? These are the details of the game. And I know it's like, wait a second, there's so much emotion. Yeah, but the team that's able to weather that, execute, play their game. It was the Flames in game number one. Edmonton, give them a lot of credit. They scored 6 goals in that game. That is a positive sign. I'm not worried about Edmonton scoring goals. They can score goals. It's defending, and it's always been defending that they've had to work on. And they have worked on it this year. They're going to have to be better, much better, protecting the front of the net. And I think they can be. I think they can be, but I think it'll be a much tighter game if they do that. But you're right. They have to initiate. They have to get on the forecheck, and they have to start finishing checks and be the first ones to hit, not the second ones.
All right. And so, you know, I'm looking right now, and one of Puljujärvi or Cassian's basically playing left wing when they're together. Archibald's over there playing left wing on the third line. Michael Parkatti put some analytics numbers out, and Nugent Hopkins has been cratered with Archibald when Archibald's played on his line over the last 3 seasons, and which is, you know, and Archibald didn't play all year long. If it's me, I'm putting Holloway in, and I think Fogle's coming in for sure. That's a lock. I think Holloway would be a real reach, real outside the box thought process, but I want his speed. I want his ability to forecheck. And Cassian's got to.
And you know, he might just surprise you too. I know how Ken Holland is, and you're right. I think it is a reach, but you never know. Maybe they get to a point where they want to give him an opportunity. It's a real big stage. It's a real intense environment to throw a kid into the action. But yeah, you know what?
He's also from here.
It'd be an opportunity for him to just get in there and get his feet moving. And I do agree with you. He's got size. He's got speed. He'd get in there and might just surprise you. You know, that's the thing. You never know what a guy's going to do as far as adjusting from the American Hockey League, especially young in their careers up into the NHL. Sometimes they play better at the NHL, and I've talked to you about this many times. It's a little more chaotic, I believe, down in the American Hockey League at times.
Agreed.
And I think it's harder, especially for cerebral players and players that like to play with a little bit of, you know, structure in their game to figure that out. It seems like he was figuring things out later in the year, so there's some real good signs there, but it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes they jump up here when you're just concentrated on doing your job and doing your job well. That's a better fit for a lot of players. But there's the other things that come into it, the speed, the skill set, the size, the strength. All of that is elevated in the NHL, and it's elevated even more in the playoffs. But listen, I don't know what they're going to do with the lineup. What I do know, though, is whoever they do dress, there just has to be a real commitment to shutting things down in their own zone. A harder defensive game, harder on the cycles, eliminating the cycle, smothering plays out. Don't let anybody stand in front of your own net. And, you know, the Flames play that way, and Edmonton still found a way to score 6 goals. So, like I said, I don't think it's about scoring goals, to be honest with you. I think it's about defending. And I do expect a better push from Edmonton in game number 2. They will adjust.
And you talked about, you know, someone taking it personally at times. The Oilers have some young guys. They got some young guys in their team, Louis, that have never been in this situation. They have guys in their team that have never been in a fight. I mean, we have people over the age of 40 listening to the show that had their ass kicked 25 times before they were 20 years of age. And they know what I'm talking about. And I might be one of those guys. And that's on the ice, off the ice. And we have, but it's a completely different. And I wonder whether or not at times those guys get psyched by the moment. And Calgary's got an older, tough team. So they're better at it. And the way you counteract is by getting more speed in your lineup and forechecking and making them uncomfortable. And I guess, and because of that, I want to, you know, Cassian stays in for sure, and I'd probably keep Archibald in. I don't think Puljujärvi's at 100% either, by the way. So, all right, I want to switch focus.
So here's the thing, just to follow up on that point, though, Bob, because it's important. The thing that I felt, especially early in the game until Edmonton started getting to their game, was I felt the Flames were the faster-playing team. You know, so if you were to look into this series, you'd say Edmonton's probably the faster team. At least perception, that's what you're thinking. Well, they weren't. They were second to a lot of pucks, and you know what? The Kings did the same thing to them. But then they adjusted. They started to get their feet moving, started to play a little freer. And if you're going to play a team that wants to play a more physical, grindy type of game, how do you combat that? You combat that with speed. You have to be urgent. You have to be faster to pucks. You have to move pucks quicker. You have to let the puck do the work for you. And I thought they made an amazing adjustment against the Kings. I mean, they blew them out 14-2 and 2-3, but then the Kings came back and put them on the brink of elimination. Two games they had to finish that series. And in the two most important games of the series, I believe Edmonton played their best defensive game and their best structured game. They need to get to that a little quicker in this series. And I think they know that. I don't think there's any illusions of anybody in that dressing room that they understand they're going up against a very, very good team in Calgary. A very structured, hardworking, gritty team that is better at them right now in the gamesmanship, as I believe the Kings were. So Edmonton needs to learn from that and understand that that's maybe not the way they want to go about this. And I know everybody in the Battle of Alberta wants that. Let's get some fights. Let's get the action. They have to eliminate that noise on the outside, and they have to be very systematic in their approach. That doesn't mean that they don't stop running around looking for hits, because I believe the physicality will wear down the Flames if they continue to do that. I thought Dallas did a pretty good job of shutting stuff down and grinding and making it a difficult series. And that's what Edmonton's going to need to try and start to do. But they need to play faster. Simple as that.
All right, Louis. Your work in St. Louis, Colorado. Jordan Binnington was stellar. Colorado's got a hell of a team, don't they?
You know what? I'll say the same thing in this series. I look at Colorado similar to Edmonton. I really do. They have the studs. They have the speed, the superstars. And they play an amazing high-octane game. It's a pressure-filled game. They had St. Louis on a three-quarter game for most of it. They really did. I honestly only counted, when I look back at it, two situations where the St. Louis Blues had multiple shifts in a row where they were controlling the play. And I mean that only twice in the game. In the first, once they took the lead, they settled things down, tried to slow it down, and then the third, they had a pretty good push too. Maybe the end of the second, they had a couple good shots, but they had, I think, three or four shifts in a row in the third period where they were playing the three-quarter game in their benefit. They never got to it enough. That was all the talk this morning in the morning skates was, the Avalanche understand there's going to be a pushback from a very desperate and a very resilient team in the St. Louis Blues. They're looking to have the puck a little bit more. They need to initiate and get on the forecheck more and spend more time in the offensive zone. Sounds similar, doesn't it? There needs to be a response there. This is a team that has been in a lot of these battles before, and I expect a real pushback from the St. Louis Blues. But boy, oh boy, when the Avs get onto their game, they can wheel. It's incredible how fast they can go from defense to offense, especially in the second period, which has been a real problem for opponents, especially at Ball Arena here in Colorado. They were dominant. They were literally on their heels in the St. Louis Blues for most of that period, where Jordan Binnington played fantastic. He was incredible in the game. He really was. In a losing effort, and that's probably the hardest thing to swallow for St. Louis, is that their goaltender maybe played his best game of the series. They hope it's not, but he was pretty incredible in the game. But the Avalanche found a way to win it. Josh Manchin with a huge overtime goal to win it, which he was pretty excited about. But, yeah, similar situation. It's about adjustments. It's one game, and that's the way you have to look at it. They're very confident, the Blues, as Edmonton should be too. It is only one game. You have to literally flush it, whether it's a win or loss, because it is a game-to-game basis in the playoffs.
Louis, love your having you joining us on the show, courtesy of GCL Diesel. I'll be watching it tonight. Thanks for your time. That is Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrus, brought to you by GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices since 1972. GCLDiesel.com. And some guests on this show receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, 9990 Jasper Avenue. Ruth's Chris, it's the greatest steak you've ever had. Open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 till 10 p.m.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We come back in Oilers Now. We'll get to the Oilers Now injury report and the Ashley Fine Floors text line. It is 12:53 at Edmonton.
Wow, 1987, the Joshua Tree. Welcome back, everybody. Some memories there. 12:56 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you to the Oilers Now injury report, brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. Trent Brown became one of the heavy hitters in the CFL during his playing career. And James H. Brown, they are the heavy hitters in injury law. Oilers, no one really knows the full extent of the injuries. Leon Draisaitl, clearly you're watching the games. He's not at 100%. Darnell Nurse, even Vander Kane for me, looked not to have had the same pace that he played with recently. The Fizzler, we haven't heard from the Fizzler for a while. He texts us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. He says, Bob, my dad once said to me, you got a big mouth and you don't know when to shut it. Let's just say it taught me when to take a punch or two. Or how to take a punch or two. I can kind of... I did fine against my age group. The problem was when I chirped when I was 13 and 14 and somebody that was 15 or 16 knew what they were doing and I didn't. It was bad. Bob, maybe you have the answer. Nick has texted the show. Why did Tkachuk switch spots in the penalty box and come out earlier? And he ended up being on the ice for the game-winning goal. Kane was stuck in the box for the same time when the penalty occurred on the coincidentals, because the Flames have the right to decide which player comes out in that scenario. Shillington had a penalty as well, so they had Tkachuk come out first. That was the explanation. Vince says, Bob, we're about to find out shortly about the Edmonton Oilers playoffs injuries. Well, hopefully not too shortly. Hopefully Edmonton can get her turned around a bit here. Hey, you got an opportunity to join New West Travel in Cabot, Nova Scotia on a five-day getaway. Golf at the Cabot Cliffs and Cabot Links. This package includes airfare via private WestJet charter, open bar, premium meals, all that kind of stuff. Four nights accommodations in Cabot Lodge, five rounds of golf in stunning Cabot, Nova Scotia, plus the New West Golf Tournament as well. New West Travel, you can visit them at newwesttravel.com. Book now and get a $350 upgrade on premium economy. Second hour of the show coming up, Kevin Weeks for Canadian Power Pack from the NHL Network, and Brad Lauer, the head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings. We head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.